God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening.
Good evening.
I've been practicing that all day. I was afraid I was going to say good morning. Those of you who know me know that we are entering my favorite season in the church, probably because I need it. We live in this world that is complicated. Probably more complicated than it needs to be, and we certainly don't help the process, amen? And so Lent is a good excuse to just sort of back it off a little bit and pay attention to what God's doing and maybe listen a little closer than we would under other circumstances. The church calendar reminds us, pay attention. Isaiah has a lot to say to us this evening. You probably saw that already or heard it, certainly. Hope you made notes. I could reread it all if you'd like. But instead, I'll just kind of break it out just a little bit for you. And I think it's important, brothers and sisters, that we take in our history. Isaiah is speaking to God is speaking through Isaiah, there we go, he's a prophet, and to God's people. And he's really, they've been dealing with the understanding of, as my Bible likes to lay it out, false and true worship. So he starts, he has this getting their attention concept. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. That should get our attention right away. It should make a little bit of sense to us also. As God's people, this is our constant battle. Now, we live under the new covenant in this time of grace, thanks to Jesus and his work on the cross, the offering of his very body and blood. But we should never forget this concept of what it looks like to be God's rebellious people. And I know you're so excited you came here tonight to hear about that. But I think sometimes it's necessary so that we can grow nearer to God. As Isaiah goes forward, it's a good reminder to us that Lent is an opportunity to reach the end of ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Now, some people in some communities in which I turn, it's an opportunity for you to find your bottom. So you know where you end and God begins. Because I feel like we're often in this negotiation with God as to just how much of us are we willing to give to the one who gave it all for us. And that's been a struggle with God's people. We hear it here in Isaiah. He's speaking to it. He talks about the way in which they are fasting. He goes, such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. It is such a fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself, a day is probably how it should come out to you. He goes, to lie in sackcloth and ashes, will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? And I hear in all that's being said in those first few verses, Isaiah is being told, tell the people, you're working this on your own terms. You're following the rules, so to speak, but are you following God? Are you going through the motions, or are you building a relationship? Verse 6, things start to turn. And it's really pivotal to all of us to hear, I believe, tonight. It says, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free? And to break every yoke? Isn't this what God wants? I mean, this is the freedom he speaks of. When we can break through these things and let God actually work in our lives, we can actually come to a place of true worship. True worship. Not just going through motions from time to time, but a true worship where we are standing before God with all that we are and all that we have, the good and the bad. The successes, the failures, the pain, the sorrow, the shame, the joy. And we can just put it all before God so that he can do in us what he chooses to do rather than us faking it. I mean, in this day and age, I'm so grateful most days that I don't really spend time on social media. I know I'm supposed to, because that's how the world communicates. But brothers and sisters, how exhausting it must be to present yourself with such perfection, right? Exactly. But the reality is, we pretend we are something we are not. I see it all the time. Everything is amazing. Look at my life. Look how wonderful things are. Because that's what you want the world to see. And I cannot tell you how many times I've witnessed those sort of things back when I paid attention to social media, which I gave up before I became your rector, by the way, so don't panic. That's why if you asked me to be your friend, I never responded. But I do recall time looking at things on Facebook and knowing where the people's life was and seeing the family photos on Facebook and seeing the reality of it, and I'm thinking, how exhausting must that be to have to fake it so the world thinks that your life is wonderful. And then I suppose we convince ourselves that it's wonderful because we put up a beautiful picture and everybody go, isn't that great? They like it. I'm reminded of this picture of the day I was ordained to the diaconate. It shows up once in a while and Susan and I laugh. I'm standing there and I'm resting my head against hers. It was after the ordination at the cathedral and there were a lot of people there. I'm an introvert. And every time it shows up, oh, what a beautiful picture, what love, what wonderful things. No, I'm leaning in going, take me home now. That is the truth. And somebody got the picture. And they think, what a, just imagine the love. In reality, it was love, because you know what she did? She took me home. But that's what the world does. We laugh. Everybody thinks, oh, what a beautiful picture of love. And I'm thinking, yeah, I guess it is. But not the way everybody thinks. It's her loving me as I am, which is exactly what God intends to do. That's why he invites us to let go, to be set free, free of pretending to be someone we're not, free of pretending to be people that have to present themselves as healed and holy. I'm going to let you in on a secret. He knows you're not. And the sooner you can acknowledge it before him, the closer you're going to come together. And you can truly begin to understand who God is and who he wants to be. And maybe most importantly, who he wants you to be. Because as long as you're pretending to be something you're not, you will never know. And what else really matters beyond knowing God and letting God know you at such a level that he just accepts you and loves you, but loves you so much that he takes you where you need to be so that you can be fully the person he creates you to be. Isaiah goes on and talks about all the things that you can do in the verses following, all describing ways in which you can love and care for other people, sharing your bread, giving homes to homeless. All the things that Jesus would want us to do. This whole Lenten season is about growing nearer to Christ And people always want to know, how do I get closer to Christ? It's actually quite simple. Be Christ-like. Walk as he walked. Love as he loves. And you begin to understand more clearly the heart of God. And he begins to transform your heart. And you suddenly find yourself nearer to him. Not pretending to be anything other than his and his alone. It's our surrender that he's asking for. This season is about that. So whatever it is you're carrying around with you, whatever it is you think is keeping you from God, he already knows. This Lenten season gives us opportunity to know him more by simply allowing him to know us more within our own understanding. Because, of course, he already knows. You have nothing to lose. Shockingly, he loves you anyway. But he does want you to truly worship him. That true worship comes when you know where you end and God begins. That is when you begin to move in ways you never knew you could. That is where you begin to find your purpose and your value beyond any understanding you've ever had of yourself. That is where you learn to trust him and you walk with him and you become obedient to his call. It's where the time in your life shifts away from trying to figure out how to fit God into your life and you instead choose to have a life with God. It's when you no longer wonder, should I be at church or should I be somewhere else? Your heart will already know the answer, and you will not be able to change it. That is, you will be in worship of your God because there is nothing more important to you. It's when you will learn to look at your spouse and say, you are the second most important person in my life. And they will know exactly what you are talking about because they know the most important thing about their relationship with you is that the number one person in your life is God. And everything aligns. Does it become perfect? No. Do you gain an abundant life? Yes. Do all these things that Scripture tell us make more sense? They will. It's when we surrender, brothers and sisters. It's when we quit trying to make room in our lives for God and just put him first and let him make a life for us. Then we can hear differently. Verse 10 and forward for this evening. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. You become the fullness of God's people. God was trying to guide his people through Isaiah to the fullness of a life in him. Their disobedience had led them away. He's saying, but if you become my people, this is what the world looks like. This will be your purpose, and what greater purpose can there be for us on this side of the cross, brothers and sisters, than to be sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is more important? What is more important? So we look to our history and we recognize God's people, yes, have had this struggle always. But we live in this time of grace, where Jesus has taken care of any division between us and God. With his very body and blood, he has opened the way for us to be in deep, meaningful, transforming relationship with himself. And yet, we still try to negotiate. How much of us will we give to the one who gave it all for us? It is my prayer, brothers and sisters, that this Lenten season, you will just let go. Stop trying to negotiate how much of your life belongs to God, and recognize that your full and abundant life will come when you surrender it all.